put my kids first. You might wonder why there's a question mark on the end of that. I think there's a question mark on the end of that. Put my kids first. People say that all the time. My kids come first. I put my kids first. And I get that in some ways. But you're probably wondering why there's a question mark on the end of it. It's not as ridiculous as it might seem. Today what we're trying to do is answer the question with being Child Dedication Sunday. This is mostly for parents, but not just for parents. It can be for grandparents. It can be for teachers, people who are just trying to help mentor the next generation. But I'll probably use the term parents quite a bit today. So how does a parent raise their kids in a God-honoring way? Or we might ask as Christians, what's the best way to parent our children? See, if I were an atheist or an agnostic, it would be pretty simple. If I believed that this was all there was, that we lived this life and then we were done, then my greatest good would be to take care of my creation. And so because of that, because of so many people believing that today, the culture around us seems to be all about kids, all about the youth, all about the next generation. We are literally worshiping our children. It's a tough balance. It really is. How do we do good things for our kids, prepare them, allow them to enjoy their childhood without worshiping them? Because that's what the balance, I think, that we have to find is. How can we be good parents but not worship our children? Because making everything about them is destroying them. It is the absolute worst thing that we can do for our children. Think about it. Most of us don't really enjoy being around adults who are self-centered. And, you know, just everything's all about me, me, me. Yet we make our children the center of everything, and we expect them to grow up and not feel that way anymore. We are creating little self-centered monsters when we worship our children. This was something somewhat of a prophecy in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 3. He speaks of what the fall of a nation might look like, what it does look like. And he shares some things that are going on in this nation that's about to fall. And he says in verse 4, I will make mere youths, their officials. Children will rule over them. And so the question I thought was, are the children ruling today? There's a very simple, clear passage in the Old Testament that was directed towards Israel, or God's chosen people. And they were there to represent God, to obey him, and to share what he was about, and they would receive blessings from him. So it was really important that they would pass on their faith and who God was to the next generation. And so he told them how to do it. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 4. It says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, first things first, God has to be one. Number one, on this day when so many people dedicate their children and choose to put God number one, how do we do that? Well, the first thing we have to know is that you cannot put your children first. We cannot put our children over God. It doesn't work that way. It's dangerous. This is where the worshiping of our children or idolatry comes in. I'm sharing this today because they do take priority in so many ways, even in the churches. I was thinking about how our church runs, and I believe that we have a pretty decent-sized church for this size town, and partially, or maybe a large part, because of our children and youth programs. A lot of people pick churches because there's stuff for the kids. The churches that seem to have youth seem to stay open. We hire, schedule, direct finances towards children and youth so that we can bring them in and bring their parents in and teach them about Jesus. It would be foolish not to. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. I'm saying this is the state of the church. People make decisions based off of their children. And then in the church, then sometimes we start to get upset or we have this fight, this ongoing issue that we don't have consistent volunteers because parents sign up their kids for stuff on Sunday mornings. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I get this. I know the tension on this. I know the struggle. I'm here most Sunday mornings because it's my job. I'm not saying that if I wasn't, the preacher, Maybe I would sign my kids up for more stuff on Sunday mornings. I can't tell you because I haven't had to face that issue. It's tough. I don't want anyone to feel bad. I'm just trying to say this is what I'm looking at when I look around and I see the state of the church and families. And so now as families dedicate their kids to God, what are some things that maybe you would all consider as you make these decisions? See, I believe that our kids need regular worship, regular exposure to the Bible and to the gospel, just like adults. And so how do we know if we're doing good for our children and their spiritual lives? A couple questions. First, do my children limit what I do for Jesus and his kingdom? Would we say things like, I won't move there, or I won't serve there, or I can't commit to that. I can't do that. My kids, if I do that, my kids won't get this. Are we asking if this will please my child more than if it will please God? Another question is the church my family's primary community? Is church attendance optional when something better comes along? And I mean regularly. I know people take vacations and things come up and you travel for weddings and things. I mean, on a regular basis, are you choosing other things, other communities over church? Everyone's going to find community somewhere. At least they're going to look. And when we show our kids that church doesn't really fill that need, then at some point they start to grow up and we wonder, why aren't they going to church anymore? Well, what did we show them? Did they watch? Did they hear what we said, or did they watch what we did? Where do you really want your kid to find community? That's a question you have to decide as you raise your kids. The world's changing around us. I know that. I'm not even saying that, take a stand against it. I'm saying maybe choose to live differently. There's a passage in the Old Testament, I'm there a lot today, Joshua chapter 24, and he had this going on. A lot of people around him were choosing to worship other things, and they probably looked worse than what we're doing, or just just on the surface it looks that way, but he said this in verse 15. He said, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." What he was saying was, hey, a lot of people are choosing a lot of different things to prioritize. And guess what? Today, a lot of people are choosing a lot of things that they're saying this is more important than church. Or I don't want to say they're saying this is more important than God. I don't know their hearts. But it looks that way, at least. And if it looks that way to adults who have some wisdom, then it might start to look that way to kids too. They might look and say, well, yeah, church is important 7 times a year or something like that. But this stuff we do on Sundays, or this stuff we do every weekend in the summer, and then it's not a priority. And then they grow up and you say, well, why do my kids not go to church anymore? Why aren't my kids raising my grandkids in the church? I mean, this is a tough one. And so Joshua, he's facing this, and all these people around, same thing, and he says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You got to make the decision. When you dedicate your kids, you got to make that decision on how you will do it. Don't worry about how everyone else is doing it. Number three, are we spending so much on our kids that we aren't even willing to consider giving to God's mission? I get it. I have kids. They're expensive. I try to tell my kids yes as often as possible. Sometimes I have to tell my kids no. And sometimes when I write my offering check, it does cross my mind that maybe I could just use this on my kids for this, because God would understand and he wouldn't mind, because he loves me and he loves my kids, so I should do this. And my kids have never gone hungry. Every needs ever that they've had has ever been met. And they've got to enjoy a lot of things in life. They've also gotten to learn the value of trusting God. I think that will carry on. They've learned about people who have much less. They've learned that a lot of what we do at the church is so that their friends, the kids that they're with every day, the kids that they call their best friends, they have a place to come for Big Wednesday and for VBS and for youth group. They've learned that it's not all about them. And that's a good thing. I fail at parenting all the time. I really do. We all fall short. I fail at following God at times. These questions are just to help us consider priorities and values. What are we passing on to our children? Another question I had was, how many of us fear the disapproval of our kids more than God's? See, we do a lot of stuff for our kids, and we hope that they love us, and we know that God's going to love us no matter what, so do we take advantage of that? You know, if my kids want something, I'm like, okay, how do I make this happen? Even if I tell them no, I'm thinking, okay, how can I make this a yes? But if God wants something from me, then I say, well, I'll pray about it. You know, I think sometimes we put our kids ahead of God, and we allow them to rule, and they become our idols. It's dangerous for us. It's dangerous for them. So what do we do? What do we do instead? Well, the rest of this text is really going to help us. It's going to be kind of quick. Just, you know, there's really like kind of 3 points here. I don't think I put the points down, but you'll catch on real quick. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I said this earlier, but first is we have to put God first. Or as Jesus said later in Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Meaning, don't worry so much about everything else. Just focus on the big thing, on God, and everything else will fall into place. But verse 6, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. This is where it starts. He's about to get to parenting. He's about to get to this point where he says, here's how you pass it on to your kids. But before you do that, you have to think about yourself a little bit. It has to be on your hearts. You have to study the Bible. You have to memorize Scripture. You have to worship and serve. See, a lot of people did that as kids, and then they grow up and they say, well, I don't need to do that anymore because I've already learned everything. Could you imagine if we went through school, maybe you went through 8th grade, and then you said, you know, I've learned everything I'll ever need to learn. I don't need to read or study or take in anything else. We kind of do that with our faith sometimes. We say the kids need to go to camp and to be a part of a group and a class and learn, but I don't need to do that because I already know it all. That just doesn't work like that. See, we have responsibilities to take care of our own kids. As a parent, it's your primary responsibility, not mine, not Nathan's, not Rob's. It's your primary responsibility to teach your kid. And so what will they see when they look at you? Verse 7 says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. According to a recent Study Finds article, the typical family spends 6 hours together a week, thanks to long working hours, time spent on digital devices. According to a study of 2,000 parents with children at home, most agree that work is hindering family quality. Other factors include homework, chores, TV, social media use, and after school activities. And when families are home together, which doesn't sound like is very often, 37% admit that they don't set specific time to spend time with one another. So they're just kind of in the house. The survey finds half of the respondents think that there are too many distractions in the home, particularly devices with screens, which impact quality time. There's plenty of research that shows how eating meals together as a family has positive effects for everyone. A quarter of the parents would like to eat more family meals together to encourage conversation. 42% say that they struggle to initiate chats with their children. All this to say, in this study, it was all these numbers, and I didn't even share all the numbers. It's really hard sometimes to make time, and then also when you are together, what do you do with it? How do you make it intentional? See, we don't get unlimited time with our kids. And so when is yours? When is that time? Is it in the car? Is it at the table in the morning? Is it at bedtime? Is it after church? I mean, there has to be some time that when you're with your kids, so how can you be intentional about it? It's not just talking, though. Impress is the word he uses. Impress them on your children. It means to leave an impression. Kids pick up so much. They imitate our words, our actions. And if we love God and put them first, then the kids will catch on. Our kids aren't with us all the time. And so I just think that the idea is that we really consider, you know, I know it's hard. You come home from work and maybe you're exhausted. Maybe mentally you're exhausted. And you come in, you just want to just relax. And instead, I think the idea is that if we're only spending 6 hours a week with our children, to give them the best of the time, to when you walk, when you get ready to walk in. You know, sometimes when I come home, I'm on my phone, and I have tried very hard over the last couple of years, don't walk inside when I'm on my phone. And so when I am coming home, and not like this when I'm driving, but whenever I'm coming home and my phone's on speaker, and then I get out and it's 30 degrees out or 20 degrees out, and I'm standing in the driveway, I still will not go inside till I finish the conversation because I don't want to go in and the kids are, you know, hey, dad's home. They don't really do that as much anymore, but they used to. And to be able to like, hey, no, not right now. I'm on, you know, that's hard. And so that's just one little thing. But how do we give our best to our kids is the idea, so that we can make the most of that time. Now, verse 8, he goes on, he says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. This actually points to the Jewish symbols that they would put on their left arms and on their heads in the morning as reminders. And the idea was here is repetition. They did it every day. And so find something that works for you. We're not going to just be able to spend countless hours every day reading the Bible to our kids and sitting and praying for 2 hours with our kids. Even if we wanted to, our kids wouldn't want to do that. But what's the thing that you can do? Just find it. Maybe it's 3 minutes before bed or 3 minutes in the morning or a certain drive after school every day. Whatever it is for you, just find that and stick with it. Verse 9, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's a public commitment. It's so other people look and say, hey, yeah, that person's a Christian. And I would say, do people know that you're a Christian outside of church? Your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends? And would your children know that you were a Christian if you didn't bring them to church? Now, the idea is that people see it. And so it's imitation, repetition, and commitment. Being a good leader to your children starts with you first. Kids follow their parents' examples. They'll look, they'll watch you. And so pray with them, read them, live it out. I see people in the church, there was a couple people, especially when we used to set up chairs, parents would bring their kids in. And I know some parents take communion out, and when they do, their kids go with them. And I think, well, the parents aren't really doing anything extra by bringing their kids, except they're showing them how to serve the church and how to serve Jesus. So just take them along with whatever you're doing. But I do need to finish up here. The last thing that I wanted to really focus on, and I think I don't want to say it was a throw-on at the end of my sermon, but I didn't give this much thought, and then it was like, wait, this is about everything. This is the part that probably matters the most. It's from verses 10 through 12. It says this: when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you did not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now these people, the Israelites, they were going to the promised land. Right, and this land was not anything that they earned, but God gave them this land, and he fought their battles, and it was a gift to them. And so he was speaking of that, but he was also foreshadowing for all the Christians that this is about heaven, about our promised land. And it says that all this stuff you didn't build, you didn't earn, you didn't work for, you didn't dig, it was a gift. And you'd be brought out of the land of slavery. They were slaves. We're slaves to our sin. We're slaves to guilt. We're slaves to shame. And he says, I'm bringing you out of this, and I'm putting you here, and it's all a gift. And at first I thought, what does this have to do with parenting? Like, what does this have to do with the rest of it? We should teach our kids God's ways, but we cannot forget the most important part, that we adults have received far more than we could ever give. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The things that we work for, yeah, it still took God to make things happen. It's not just luck and hard work. If God's on our side, then he works for our good, right? And so we have to give our kids grace, just like we give ourselves grace. We can work really hard and things not go well, and we cannot do nothing and things go really well. That's just the way it is sometimes. And I wonder why things happen the way they do, but I don't think we'll have those answers, but man, I just know God provides, And this grace is not anything we earn. We don't want our kids to grow up thinking, I have to be at church every Sunday, and if I miss reading my Bible on Tuesday, then, oh, this is bad. God's going to hate me. We don't want our kids to grow up thinking that it's a checklist, but it's a relationship that he's initiated. And that's for us as well. God will do more for our kids than we ever can. But we, as parents, our job is just to lead them to him. Our job is to say, hey, God gave me you, and it's my responsibility, and you might not like going to church this much, and you might not like reading this, but I want you to know who Jesus is, because that is something that matters. That is life-changing. That's our job as parents. Just lead our kids to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the scripture, and there's just so much to consider in the world around us. We know we won't get it right every time, and we might do all the right things, and it still might feel like it doesn't work out the way that it should have. But God, we trust you. We know this is not about just here and this day and this time. This is about eternity, and so I pray that you would give us what we need to be good parents. But also to follow you. This is about our relationship with you as well. And so please help us. Just give us the wisdom. Give us direction. When we fail, we know that you've given us grace. But also in our parenting, help us to know that you are in control and your ways are better. And so I pray that we would grow in our faith in you and our hope towards you. We thank you for Jesus. That's his name we pray. Amen.